Beulah, Beulah Land mean? We've been singing this every day, right? Let's turn to the book of Isaiah 62, verse 4. Isaiah 62, verse 4. We sing this hymn, we love this hymn, and we must know what it means. 62, verse 4. Let's read this all together. 1, 2, 3. This is the promise of the Lord. You shall not be deserted anymore. Here the you, referring to Israel, referring to Zion, referring to the people of God. God used the land to refer to his people. The people sinned against God. That's why they were captive. They were brought to Babylon. So the land was deserted. The land was just like a woman deserted by her husband. There's no more husband, no more someone to rely on, no more someone to belong to. But time will come, day will come, that the Lord will put favor on Israel and one more time. And their land will be like a woman happily married, happily delighted by her husband. So the word Beulah actually means married. Belongs to someone, just like happily in marriage. So brother and sister, you are in this NYTS. Of course, everybody, all the students here, I think all of them are single, right? You haven't married yet. But spiritually, of course, one or two you got married. Majority here, 99%, you're still single, right? But spiritually, you're already married. To whom? Lord Jesus Christ, you belong to him. You are not someone who has been deserted. You doesn't belong to the world. And you shouldn't be like those who are lying on the homeless or nobody care about them. You have somebody to care, and somebody care you. It's Lord Jesus Christ. So make sure we stay in the Beulah land. We are in the Beulah land. We must stay in the Beulah land and don't move from here. Of course, physically, we have to move from the chapel in this afternoon. But spiritually, we must always be delighted by Lord Jesus and become devoted to him. Let's pray together before the class. Ask the Lord to guide us. In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, by God's grace, we shall conclude the book today. And even though your test was done Friday, but these three chapters is still very important. Shall I give you another test before you go this afternoon? It may be a very good idea. Or assignments. You can email, right? Okay, so we are entering the end of the book, and this class we'll talk about from chapter 22 to chapter 24, what happened there. And of course, it's approaching the end. And from chapter 22 on, talk about a very special event. We call it an altar and an accusation. After being given the land, those 2.5 tribes on the east of River Jordan, they have decided they want to build a very special altar. And this altar is so big, so special, so huge. And they wanted to show something. They want to remind themselves that the Lord is with them, the Lord guide them. But what happened is, in those days, there was no telephone, there was no email, there was no internet, no newspaper, and they have no regular meeting of the 12 tribes. So news will spread, but by unofficial channels, like rumors, or you have friends that visit, or your relative visit the other side, and then you spread the news. And we know when the news got spread, sometimes people add their own interpretation about the event. So the other side heard about, wow, these 2.5 tribes, what happened to them? It seems that they are doing something suspicious, suspiciously evil, because they still remember not long ago, during the journey in the wilderness, that some people, they try to worship the idols or build up their altar to offer their own sacrifices to other gods, including Baal. So many of them were killed. There was one occasion in Numbers chapter 25, 24,000 of people were killed because they worshiped idols. So the other 9.5 tribes have passion for godliness or piety because they think that they have come a long way to fight all the battle, to be settled in the land. And how can we allow these 2.5 tribes to sin against God and offer sacrifices to other gods? So they have decided they wanted to do something. They rally the 9.5 tribes together, and they want to wage a battle. Let's turn to chapter 22, verse 12. Yes, Sister Sophia, please. Chapter 22, verse 12. These 9.5 tribes, they gather together, and they want, of course, they gather in Shiloh, because this is where the tabernacle, the Ark of the Lord is. So they gather together and about to fight a battle. But let's look at this, right? This is a perfect example of rushing in a conclusion and very rushed to try to carry an action. The motive was good. They want to do something for God to cleanse the sin. But you look at when they come up with this accusation, what was lacking? And this is to tell us today when we can make a very wrong decision, even though we have good motives, even though we have zeal for God, but we can make bad decision. First, they think that the elders, especially at the time, the leaders, the spiritual leader, they thinking they have all the answers. They heard the rumors and they assume, actually, they assume them to break the law of Moses. This is a very strong assumption. Well, they have the fact. The fact is, besides Shiloh, they built an altar. They assume that they have the truth. They have turned against God by building an altar. Now, brother and sister, look at me. Listen carefully. What is the difference between fact and truth? Facts and truth, are they the same? Are they the same? How different is it? For example, they see the fact is, wow, these people build an altar. And when they see this altar, they think that, wow, they must rebel against God. But they haven't asked why they build the altar. They haven't asked, have they done anything into the altar? They never know that that altar was only for a sign. They're never going to use it to offer sacrifices. Even they will not offer sacrifices to the law on that altar. Because according to the law of Moses, only one place, they go to Shiloh, they worship God. They cannot go everywhere to build an altar. But they didn't find out the truth. So, brothers and sisters, I want to share with you is, fact is different than the truth. Just like you can take a picture. There's a saying that a picture tells 1,000 words.
But picture may tell wrong words. For example, if you see a picture or a fact, a video, this long time ago there's a story go like this, right? It's a true happening. There was a sister on that day, he passed by the pastor's room. And when he was the pastor's room, he saw the door open. And first there was a sister coming out of the pastor's room crying. He said, "Wow, what happened to that sister?" And then the sister left. And then some minutes ago, the pastor came out from the room and also go in the other direction. And the door was closed. Now, these are the facts. What are you thinking? Oh, something suspicious is going inside the room. Wow, what have the pastor done to that sister? Right? She was crying and they are inside that room and only God knows how long they've been inside and what did they do? Oh, let me tell other sister about that. You know, I saw the other sister coming off the room crying. And the other people tell other people, they add a lot of vinegar, spice, and kimchi and everything. Make the story look really appetizing, right? Wow, become a top gossip. Yes, you saw the fact, but doesn't mean that you know the truth. The truth was, the sister want to talk to the pastor about something. But the pastor say, "I cannot talk to you alone. I want to bring my wife together." So as a couple, pastor and the wife counseling the sister in the room. So actually inside there were three people. But the sister left first. And after that, the pastor and wife said, "I want to take a nap. I want to remain there." And the pastor said, "Okay, I'll go somewhere else to do visitation." But the pastor's wife is always inside the room from the beginning. And what else can happen if the pastor's wife is in the room, right? So, don't just trust your eyes. Don't just trust the facts. Even people show you a picture or a video doesn't mean you have the whole truth. Sometimes you have to ask. Sometimes you have to observe. Sometimes you have to find out from a third party. And sometimes you have to wait before you jump into a conclusion. This is a world full of fast judgment. Anyone can write anything on the internet. If they observe anything, they are not happy anything, they just write on the internet, "Oh, they pass judgment." Thank you. But as a spiritual person, we should not jump to conclusion. So homework is, you still have the WiDEX homework, but you can email it to me or your counselor, right? A very important homework for self-reflection, write it down. It is to be recorded, and it's for your next year credit. First, even you can write this today or after you go out for today, tonight you have time, because it's going to be good for you. What is your reaction when other people sin against God? Do you have the zeal? One thing good that we learn from these people is the nine hive tribe, they have zeal. When they see other people sin against God, they don't like it. They want to do something about it. Now, when you see other people sin against God, are you attracted or are you tempted to go with the flow and do the same thing? Or in your heart, you are burning. You really like to beat them up. Not really beat them up, right? But you really like them to stop doing it. And you really don't like the idea that they go to that kind of places. And you tell yourself, "I'm not going. I'm not doing this kind of thing because my heart has the zeal for God." But secondly, you have to think, are you guilty of prejudging other people's intention and action? Especially the brother and sister in Christ. Usually we will not judge other Gentiles because they don't know God, right? They do whatever they want. But sometimes we are being so judgmental. We think we know a little bit more Bible. We think that you go to NYTS, you're holier than other people. And sometimes when we go back, point finger, judging other people. Like you were told, you must go to Sabbath on time. But when you look at other people, oh, they are 10 minutes late, or even 5 seconds late. You see, this person is not godly. How can he be 5 seconds late to coming to church? Right? Should we judge other people like this because we go to NYTS? You think about this, right? Now, the worst is when other people come to accuse you wrongly, how would you react? Even though you don't go to judge other people, but you may be judged wrongly. Look at these 2.5 tribes. They have been judged wrongly, but what did they do? They could have said, you know, okay, you want to fight? Who are afraid of you? You can fight, we can fight. Let's fight, right? I'm not afraid of anything. They could have used the attitude like this, but they know they are brothers, and they shouldn't be fighting for something of no reason, and they shouldn't be fighting internally. So they explain. Let's turn to chapter 22. Verse 21 or 22. First, they answer very gently. They didn't anger or insult them or rebuke them. They tried to answer accusation very gently and calmly. So, brother and sister, that's what we have to learn. Even though you are wrongly accused, even though people misunderstand you, you cannot just use the same emotion to attack back. You have to calm down and learn from them. Verse 22 say, actually, the Lord knows that we didn't have these thoughts. Yes, other people may not know. Other people may misunderstand you, but the Lord knows what you are really thinking. And then on, they explain to them, this is not for offering any sacrifices to any other gods, and not even to the Lord. Let's read verse 26. Next. They explain that this is a sign for my children, for our children. So that when they look at this altar, they ask, what is this? They say that, well, let me explain to you. Actually, we and the 9 high tribe on the other side of the river are the same people. We worship the same God, and they got an altar like exactly like this to worship the Lord, God Almighty. But we don't use it here. Every year we have to go to Shiloh, where the house of God is. And this is to show them we have connection. Actually, we are one people. Wow. You see, the intention was so good. It's not as evil as they thought, even though it's very misunderstanding sometimes. But with explanation, they agree that this is not a bad thing. Let's with the 30. Let's 30. Next. It pleases them. So misunderstanding was solved. No more evil, no more ill feeling. And of course, no need to fight and nobody need to die. Just because they are willing to communicate. So brother and sister, this is called communication. Even though we are very zealous for God, sometimes you want to work for God, do things in church, but if you don't know how to communicate, you cannot work for God properly in the church. If you're outside people, they call it EQ, emotional quadrant, right? Not IQ. IQ is not good enough. If you are very smart, but you don't know how to communicate, you cannot do anything. Yeah, maybe you can write exam, you can every time you score 100%. But life is not just a paper of test. Life with a lot of challenges, and challenges include people, even in your workplace in the future. So very good communication, open mind, and don't judge people easily, don't jump into a conclusion. And when people explain, they listen. You know, some people, they don't listen. Some people, when they hear the explanation, they say, no, 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 you're lying. We know that you are want to worship idol. Let's fight. No, 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 we didn't want to fight. We didn't worship idol. No, no, you worship idol. You guys commit sin. Some people, they don't listen. So are you someone so stubborn, you don't listen to advice, to explanation, to your parents, to your sibling? Or are your ears really opened? And then from chapter 23, Joshua tell them, I am about to die, and I want to pass on the torch so that people can learn how to step out in their faith. Joshua was very old. 23 verse 1, next. Joshua was very old. Not only old. After a while ago, it was God tell them you are quite old. But now he's even older. So more than 100 years old now. So physically, he was weak. And of course, mentally, spiritually, he may be strong, but physically, he was very weak. He knows that his time is not that much. So he gathered all the people, the leaders, and give them the final encouragement and reminder. What do we learn from this reminder? Let's read verse 10. Next. Okay. The Lord already done things for you just as he promised. The last message of Joshua is, look back in your life. God fulfilled his promise. But what about us? What about you? If you really want to continue in the land to continue the blessing, you have to do your part and keep your own promise to God. God bringing you to the land is his grace, but doesn't mean you can stay long. How long you can stay is up to how you keep his promise. So, brother and sister, today you are already in his grace. You are in the promised land. You are in this beloved land, just as he promised you. But are you going to be here long? It's up to what you do. And there's one thing he reminds them. You have to keep the word of the Lord. Let's read verse 6. Next, Angela. 23 verse 6. You can see, some years ago, God told Joshua, be courageous and fear nothing. And now he say the same word to his people. Be courageous and strong and do everything the Lord tell you. The same message God told Moses. The same message God told Joshua. And now Joshua passed it on. This is true to the church. Generation come, generation go. But the message must continue. But the spirit must continue. 25 years ago, I was in NYTS. Just like you. Young and fresh. Right? And our senior pastor, the elders, they encourage us. And now I'm standing here to encourage you. And maybe 25 years from now, you're encouraging your children to go to NYTS. And maybe you are pastors, some of you are workers of God, you encourage the younger generation. So the baton must be passed, the torch must be passed on, because the work of God must continue. And the Lord, through Joshua, remind them, one thing is you have to keep yourself. There's one principle, one thinking that you have to know. Let's read verse 11 next. Continue. Okay, so in these two verses, verse 10, 11, 12, Joshua remind them, love the Lord your God so that you will not turn left or right. Just like a car, you know, the alignment, when the wheel alignment is not perfect alignment, it will drift to the left, drift to the right. But if it's perfect aligned, your car will not be going left or right. So spiritually, what is your alignment? You have to check your spiritual alignment. God going to this direction. If your heart go with the same direction as God, if you love God, you're going in the perfect straight path. But God go into that direction, if you don't love God, if your heart is attracted to the world, then very easily you go left or right. So check your heart, brother and sister. Obedience starts from love. You obey not because you have to. You obey God because you love to. Write it down. Very important. Not because you have to obey. Not because you have to come to Sabbath. Not because you have to keep holy. Not because that you cannot watch the dirty things. Not because you cannot do it. But because I love Jesus so much, I don't want to hurt him. I don't want to do it. I just want to follow God. It's not that you cannot sin, but you don't want to sin. You don't want to hurt Jesus because you love him. Just like if you, in the future, you have a wife, you love him so much, then how would you do anything to hurt her? If you love your husband, you will not do something hurt your husband or unfaithful to your husband, right? If you love Jesus, you will not do something which will make him cry again. So if you love Jesus, you'll be walking in the perfect path. And of course, Joshua tells them, avoid intermarriage with Gentiles. Because if you marry with them, God will not help you to chase them out. And also you will not chase them out because you're already so connected to them. So one of the things to keep our faith pure is marriage. But of course, in our church, there are some brothers and sisters, they also marry Gentiles. Don't look at them as sinners or something, right? Have mercy on them. Or maybe your parents, one of your parents is not yet a believer. Don't hate them or think that, oh, you're not holy. Well, they face their situation. They couldn't hold on to that. They ask for God's mercy. But for us who still have a choice, who still have a choice in front of us, we have to trust in God's promise and really, really pray for our marriage so that our marriage will be in the same faith. It will be much easier, as I testified before. So let's turn to chapter 24, verse 3. Joshua also talked about a little bit about the history, about the ancestor. Let's turn to chapter 24, verse 1 to 3. Next. The book of Joshua, the end is fulfillment of God's promise. And this promise starts when God talked to Abraham. And where was Abraham when God talked to him? Verse 3 and verse 4. The other side of the great river. So underline this word, the other side of the river. The word Hebrew actually means the other side of the river. This word Hebrew always used as the same equivalent as Israel. But the word Hebrew itself, of course, Hebrew can refer to a people, Hebrew can refer to the language, But the word Hebrew means, verse 3 and 4, from the other side of the river. And God reminded them, actually, you didn't belong here. This land wasn't belongs to you. Your forefathers is from the other side of the river. They're just like so far away. But I bring you here. And that is the word Hebrew means, so meaningful. So today we are also spiritual Hebrew, right? We are also from the other side of the river. But God brought us here. It has been a long way, brother and sister. Yesterday I was talking to a youth. I asked him, how many local church youth you have? Is it more than 15? How many of you guys are here? Only two or three? He said, well, they didn't make this far. They should have, but they didn't make this far. Of course, we pray to them. We pray for them next year. They all come here. If every local church, every youth come to NYTS, TGC will be very strong in the future. But obviously, so many youth are lost. They didn't cross the river. They didn't reach here. They didn't make this far. But we thank God only by God's mercy that we come from the other side of the river, the worldly places, and we make it here. And we hope that we'll continue to stay here. And let's turn to chapter 24, verse 14. Okay, now the laws tell them Joshua told them how to serve God. Going back a little bit, Joshua chapter 23 about abstaining immorality started from marriage. Joshua tell them to make a choice to serve God. Let's continue to read. Until verse 15. Next, Nina. The most important statements come here in verse 15. Underline this in your Bible. What the last things that Joshua tell the people. He tell them to make a choice. It is the time to make a choice, brother and sister. What is your choice? What is your direction? Joshua tell them, if you don't like serving God, if you like to serve the gods of the other side of the river, fine, you can choose. Nobody will force you. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I really like this verse. Make this one of your favorite, please. Make it one of your favorite. Yes, you are surrounded by worldly friends. They don't share your value. They don't share your dreams. They don't share your goal in the future. They may laugh at you spending so much time at church. They may laugh at you. Oh, you don't have girlfriend? You don't have boyfriend? Wow, you don't enjoy immorality, sexual immorality? Of course, they won't call it sexual immorality, right? Oh, this is our term, right? This is our. They say it's an enjoy a pleasure, but we say it's a sexual immorality. They enjoy every week old drinking, getting drunk, but you're going to church. You come here to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You are so different than all of them, and always you feel so lonely. But for Joshua, he doesn't mind being the only one. He knows it's tough. Maybe one day the whole people of Israelites, they will not follow God. They will not serve God. They go to worship idol. But they say it doesn't matter. Even though everyone left. But me and my house, I want to serve God. It's very touching. Why he can say this? Because he knows from young to this age, in his life, there's no other things. that worth serving. You cannot serve two masters. Jesus said it already. If you love the world, you will not love Jesus. If you love physical enjoyment, you will not love spiritual fulfillment. If you have a lot of wealthy friends, you will not be close to your spiritual friend. And of course, I'm not saying that you cut off all your wealthy friends, but who are the one you cling on? All right? So make a choice. I really like this saying. You are free to choose, but you are not free from the consequences of your choice. Write it down. This is another very nice thing. Even though not directly from the Bible, right? But actually, the principle is from the Bible. You are free to choose, but you are not free from the outcome. If you choose to serve the idols, if you choose to go with the world of pleasure, if you choose the big gates, the wide road, yeah, you are free to choose it for now, but you face the end. So Joshua forced them to make a choice. But they say, okay, we will serve the law. But Joshua said, no, you will not serve the law. You will sin. God will not forgive you. Let's say Joshua sometimes is pretty tough with them because Joshua knows they are evil. Let's read verse 19. Next. Joshua said, no, you guys will not serve the law. You will not, God will not forgive you. Why Joshua said this? It's not without reason. Joshua know that in their heart, they are not that 100% sincere. So Joshua warned them, you will not serve the law. God will not forgive you if you do not truly repent. Or if you do not remove something from your life. Joshua know they are hiding something in their life, in their camp. Let's read verse 23. Next. Joshua said, if you want to serve the law, remove the idols in your heart. Remove the idols in your life. Maybe some of you are hiding some idols in the camp. Otherwise, he won't say it. Somebody, we worship God. But actually, in their house, they're still idols. Who did it before? In the book of Genesis, you learn it. Whose wife did it before? Jacob's wife. What's her name? Rachel. She did it because her faith at that time was not that strong. So not only she did it before, but many people did it. Even on that time, on that day, they did it. On the surface, they serve God, but in their life, they still hide idols. So Joshua asked them, now make your choice. If you really want to serve God, when you go back, brother and sister, who is flying back today? Who is flying home today? Tomorrow? Okay. Or latest Tuesday, Wednesday, right? When you go back into your room, to your house, remove your idols. If you have like pop star or movie star poster, right? Tear them off, throw it away, right? Pop music, worldly music, doesn't belong, it's not, the lyric is not godly. You make the decision whether you want to keep it or you want to throw it away. If you have downloads ungodly videos in your hard drive, or been watching, or you have been so addicted to social medias. Maybe if you cannot control it, delete your account. Totally. If you are so addicted. Right, this morning somebody asked why people hate themselves. I tell you, one of the reasons is because of social medias. Social media, everybody portrays their perfect self, right? If you watch a lot of other people's tweet or post, they always go on holiday. They always eat nice food. Their body always look slim. The face, the picture always been photoshopped. The more you look at them, the more depressed you are, I tell you. But actually, those who post also very depressed because they want people recognition. They live in a virtual or unreal world. So, see what is controlling you. You remove them. And then your life will be different. You can serve God. So after saying all this, finally, Joshua has to do something. Is he has to die. All right, let's read verse 29. Now, he passed away 110 years old. His whole life is for God. So he died in peace. And of course, they also bring somebody bones. Verse 32. Next. When you study the book of Genesis this time, right? What happened is that, what is the last phrase of the last chapter? Did you study the last chapter this time? Whose bone was stopped in Egypt waiting to be delivered out? Joseph. And now, the book of Joshua, the last verse, is to conclude where Genesis left out. They probably were using a tomb bone box like this in the 1,500 years BC. So they carry a bone box everywhere for the 40 years. And now they have to put Joshua's bone in a village in Ephraim to rest. God's promise fulfilled. Because Joshua believed his bone will not stay in Egypt, his bone will go to the promised land. So one day we all will die. What have you left? For Joshua, his bone remind his people to have faith in God. For Joshua, he left a legacy. Now, one day we all get old, we all will die. When you die, what people will remember you of? What have you done for the Lord? We have to think about this. Thank God for guiding our class. Let's pray in silence.